Big and Hungry Podcast.
Big and Hungry! Albany, New York. Me and the great Dove Davidoff are coming up to see you at the Funny Bone, June 18th and 19th. You've been warned, Albany, capital of New York, Philadelphia, PA, Helium Comedy Club. I'm coming. June 25, 26, 27. It will be good. It will be special. Hartford, Connecticut, Funny Bone, July 30th, 31. Get your tickets. Hartford, Connecticut, Funny Bone. I'll see you soon.
June 11th through the 13th, Chicago Improv, Chicago in name, Chicago surrounding area, Schaumburg, out in the mall. Schaumburg. That's where I'll be. June 26th, I'll be at Soul Joe's Cafe in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So I'm very excited about that. Craig Shoemaker was telling me about that, so pretty pumped. And August 5th through the 8th, there's a little bit down the line, but I'll be there.
Side Tampa, splitters. Florida,
side splitters.
Stevie Cakes.
Hi.
How have you been?
Wonderful. Now that I've decorated a bit.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
that. I tried to make the space my own, and I tried not only to give me a place of solace and comfort, but for you to have a vision board of what's to come.
What is this? What is his name again?
Cliff Richards.
Cliff Richards.
This is a guy.
UK pop star.
Yeah.
European sensation. And obviously, he's had calendars since, I believe, for quite some time. But I bought the last 11 years of calendars. So this will be a constant cycle of
good
masculinity and just raw heat and inspiration.
He's a guy who just never got the memo, right? Like, he's a guy who somehow is somehow, it's just, he has no idea. He has no idea how he comes across.
Photoshopped in front of Malvici. Fucking key.
He has no idea how he comes across. He has no idea how he comes across.
Crazy, dude.
Yeah, it's nuts. Oh. And he's not a black belt, dare I say.
God damn.
He has no idea how he comes across. He's got to be.
He does know how he comes across.
He's my age in these
shots. He's relaxed. He's athletic.
Yeah.
He's artistic. And he's down to fucking party, man.
This is a guy.
That's why I love him.
I wonder. I don't know what to say.
Get that dude.
That was when, by the way, when he was doing that, that was like the 80s when being literal with your look was, how you did it. Well, anyway.
This calendar, I believe he was, at the end of the calendar, he was celebrating his 75th birthday. Dude, if you're 75 and you look like that, you won the lottery.
Where is he?
Right here. Right there.
He's 75 there?
Yeah. You're like 5 years old.
Yeah, he's a mess. He's a psychological mess. He's a psychological mess.
I don't find anybody.
That's a guy
to
who
be...
just someone wounded him so badly. I just see a massive head wound when I look at him. I see a massive fucking head wound.
Like frame 238 of the Zapruder film.
When I see people like that, that's exactly what I see.
Yeah.
I see frame 238. I see a massive head wound. I see a guy who somewhere along the line got his heart broken, got so humiliated, got so fucked up that he's never been able to live it down, and he's holding on. What I think is interesting is that the Bible, and you see these like old school, like, texts, whether it's the Bible, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad, any of these, the Old Testament, the Quran, they always talk about not worshiping false idols, right? Mm-hmm. You can't worship immortality. You're gonna fucking die. And the sooner you understand that your body will break down and that you will not want that to happen, but you must accept it and fighting it and trying to hold on to youth like this fucking guy's done with his hair, with those hair transplants and that color in his hair and all the money.
Look, you can shit on the guy. I think he's living his best life and he's fucking chillaxing by the pool. Look at this. If you were 75, that picture's adorable.
I ain't taking that picture.
you've taken plenty of pictures like that.
What I think he is he's a gay man who when you're a gay man, other men are ruthless. As you get older, they just stop looking at you. I told you. I was a cutie pie when I was young, and I know you were too. And I know gay men scrunched you up with their eyes. They scrunched you up.
Yeah, okay.
With their eyes.
Sure, yeah.
And I was always getting scrunched up. And then I hit, I don't know what it was, 35, 36, 37, yeah. something around there. And that shit dried right the fuck up because guys weren't that into me anymore. I remember there's a gay guy who said, I was doing a voiceover and I was young. I was cute. I was 30. You remember, you used to always look at me. But, and I had jeans and boots on. And I said, hey, dude, I'm a stud, like joking around. And the guy goes, duh. And I was like, oh, I was kidding, but you actually think I'm hot.
Fuck, I've never paid attention to guys acknowledging me or whatever, but that's obviously a sore point because this is the fourth time you brought it up on the podcast, Brian.
Well, you're a good looking guy.
Fourth time you brought it up.
But you're a good looking guy.
You're a handsome gent.
I would say you're better looking than I am. You've gotten away with a lot being a cutie pie because you got green eyes and you got a good bone structure.
What are you talking about, officer? Bing, 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 bing.
There it is.
Was I going fast? Bing, bing, bing.
Dude, don't you do that now. Don't you do that. I'm going to write you a ticket now. Don't you do that now.
But.
Hey, you were speeding.
Love the law.
Oh, damn it. Don't bing, you. Bing. Stop bing, binging me. Mm-hmm. Stop doing that with my eyes. Oh, fuck. All right. I'll give you a warning.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for your service, sir.
Give me a little squeeze. So what's up? What are you up to? What have you been doing, man?
I'm sleeping.
I'm not sleeping.
Just sleeping and eating, being
so cutie. I thought I would bring this up with you because you've had 2 hour specials, correct?
I've had three.
Three.
Yeah.
Can you name them for me?
Man Class, Never Grow Up.
Saw Man Class.
Complicated Apes.
Okay, the second one I didn't see. I didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
The third one, I will go back and watch it though. Because yeah. I'm a friend.
Thank you.
But the third one, I watched it. And I remember after I watched it, I texted you.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
No.
Of course he doesn't.
No, but I appreciate it.
I remember these things. But I texted you saying if you look at the growth from the first one to the third one, the first one was just silly, observational, random thoughts. And then the third one was a genuine reflection of your opinion of the state of the world. Yeah. And I really appreciated that. I was like, this is the most authentic version of you blending how you really are to the comedian that you are.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're all trying to aspire to do, to be a truly relevant comic. There's offshoot comics of silly observational stuff. And there's a place for that. Carrot Top's an example of that. But I think to really hit bone, you know, you got Chappelle and Burr and, you know,
well,
really voice your mind.
To throw shit away. I threw all the stuff I wrote during COVID away.
Yeah. Sort of. You're working on a new one now, correct?
Yeah. I don't know. I watched it and I was like, I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it did well and, you know, people seemed to like it, but it was in some ways back to my old tricks. Like I was talking about birds again and I don't even know why. I don't know why.
It's a go-to. You feel safe there because you know you'll get a laugh.
It's just weird. It's like
yes, it is weird.
It's like fight or flight.
You're the only person I know that's on stage that talks about birds, and you've done this repeatedly for
years. And I had to stop. For years. I was like, I'm throwing this away.
Most comics like, I got to stop drinking before I go on stage. It's like, I can stop talking about birds, goddammit.
What is going on in my subconscious
birds.
That I'm always talking about birds?
Birds.
I don't even like birds. I swear to God, I don't think about birds during the day. I don't. Birds are not like, I'm not a bird watcher. I don't really give a fuck about birds. I don't know that much about birds. And yet, like, a huge part of the therapist office section of my act is about birds. And I was like, I got to stop this.
The last time I thought about birds, I was thinking, I saw this video of this black student on a university campus complaining because there were too many white people. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to connect a joke of like, black people, stop complaining about too many white people. There are over 60% of the population. It's like being in the woods and complaining that there's too many birds in the forest. It's like, this is where they are.
Yeah.
This is where they live. So, you know, obviously it's not a fleshed out joke. Guys, I don't want to get into
it. No, but that's funny you say that though, because I spent a lot of time bemoaning bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not going to do it anymore. Like Danny would say, you read the news and it gets you aggressive. You get mad.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're right. Because the problem is I can like read a story and it raises my cockles. But then, like, you're not going to change the other side's minds with your point of view on this subject by saying this is why you're wrong. Maybe that's never happened. I think people change their minds when you actually engage them in a good faith discussion about isolating what the problem is and then trying to solve the problem.
Yeah.
That might be the only way you get people to kind of change their outlook. Mm-hmm. And then also sometimes you attribute a certain way of thinking to the people you disagree with.
Right.
And they're like, that's not how I'm thinking at all.
Right.
So there's that too, you know. I don't know. So
I think people have the mentality in this country that you're a disciple of Fox or CNN, MSNBC, and then those talking points are, fuck, I gotta get the fuck.
What the, dude, what happened?
Sirens, Brian.
What'd you do?
It's fucking improv, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck. Oh, burn. Ask me how I do it.
I don't know. How do you do it?
It's just natural.
The same way this guy
stays
natural,
young. Man. It's just
keep
natural.
Keep going.
But I am working on this new hour, and I was wanting to talk to you about this. I thought this could be interesting, is that you go through these ebbs and flows of what you think it's going to be, and the audience will always dictate, no, this is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I had initially set out to do a special where I was setting a trap, and I was being incredibly offensive, like really walking the line, and getting... The commodity I was almost after was groaning more than laughs.
Yeah.
And it really worked. It was a flushed out good hour. And I was prepared to do it before the opening act. And I just lost track of time. Then COVID hits and I didn't get the opportunity to do that. And then people have addressed comedy clubs being the last vessel of free speech in this country, in this world, since that time. So I was kind of ahead of the curve, but I didn't get to do it. And now it's behind the curve. So I was like, fuck, I got to restructure everything. I got to recalibrate things. And I was like, why am I chasing groans and stuff? The job is to make people laugh. And right now, I think it's even harder now than ever to take the bait and talk about all these divisive subject matters that are out there. As opposed to like, what is really important here? What are you trying to communicate here? So I really kind of recalibrated that. And I just hit this purple patch lately where it just like everything's kind of working. And then all of a sudden it just like, I was like, fuck, it's done.
That's and I really had, cool. Because sometimes what I like to do is focus on the lunacy of the human condition and the human mind and my own mind.
Yeah.
There's lunacy involved. You know, because we go through different stages of our thought patterns and our thought process. You know, But I think what's interesting about like when I really start to sit with my material and think, which I've been doing lately, is that there seems to be some kind of a subconscious through line. Like you may think you're writing about this, but you're going to find out you are writing about this.
Right.
And one of the harder things to do, I think, is not to keep repeating yourself artistically.
Right.
That's fucking hard, man, because...
Especially if it's not working.
Yeah, because whether people know it or not, anybody listening can... You know, we all have... Like, you should ask yourself that question. Like, what is the primary question in your mind? There are a couple things that go on. Starting this way. There are... When you write a script, and I think it's significant, or sometimes they'll say... I've read books where they say, write down the moments, the turning points in your life, the seven moments of your life that were turning points, that got you, that spun you off into a different direction, positive or negative. Mm-hmm. But there were moments that changed, that probably had some pain in them.
Right.
You also had some victories. Like you'll see old people like this guy dressing in a way like that reminds him of when he was his most powerful.
Yeah.
Like he's holding on to a time when he was actually happy. It was a very small window, but it was when his hair looked like that. And he was about 14 before he got fucking something bad happened. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. Like that's why, that's what it was, you know? So, you know, that's a good way to start. And then that usually gives birth to primary questions in your head. You have like one question you're wrestling with all the time.
Well, I'll tell you, I told a story about my son on one of the podcasts, and I rarely look at comments now because you said don't look at him. I was like, yeah, I don't need to look at this stuff. And it was one night I was just bored and I was seeing how we were doing. And I read this one comment and this one guy said, oh boy, that's got to go in the act. It's a pretty funny story. And so this weekend I was at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin, one of the greatest clubs in the country. And I go on stage and I run my new 60 minutes. I'm so happy with it. I'm like, fuck, it's getting really good. I obviously, the more time, the more you grind, it'll get better and better. But even if I had to film it tomorrow, I'd be like, I'd feel pretty confident. So at the end, I was like, I think I know how to tie this little story into the whole thing. So I did it. I tried it. I did my closing bit. I was like, all right, let's see if this will get. And it fucking crushed.
Damn,
and I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have had the gumption. If I read that comment, the one guy just said, this is fucking great. It's got to go in the act. I was like, fuck, man, that was great. So it made me feel good. Took it out there and no, don't. Don't. Because for that one comment, I had to endure the, you know, Steve looks like Asian Elon Musk. Steve looks like a bloated Kevin Spacey. Steve looks like, you know.
You look a little bit like Elon Musk.
Yeah. When I went to do Vulcan Gas Company in Austin, Texas for a Red Band show, I walked in and as soon as I walked in the green room, Red Band goes, I just got a text that Elon Musk is here. And I go, Red Band, I think they probably think it was me that it was Elon Musk. And he's like, no, I think Elon's here. And I was like, I don't think so. And then I think like 15 minutes later, his friend walked back in. He goes, oh, that's the guy I thought it was Elon.
Really? Oh, yeah. Fuck.
I was like, I told you, Brian.
Yeah. It's your Asperger's blank broad face.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny, man. What are the moments?
Who do people say you look like? Do people?
Like a combination of Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise. And what?
You know what my girlfriend said to me the other day?
What?
She's like, he looks like he could be related to Ryan Reynolds.
I've heard that.
And it didn't piss me off, but I know that her hot dude in Hollywood is Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, and I was like, God damn it.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds.
I was like, you have a crush on my boss.
That's so funny, man. I'll take it. I anytime like
you do kind of you resemble, there are facial qualities, yeah, for sure.
I had a compliment recently from my girlfriend.
In terms of success, far from it. But facial qualities,
damn right. I had a fucking somebody who said my girlfriend told me about a young lady who said, gave me a compliment, like thought I was hot. I've thought about that since it happened.
Hey!
Yeah, I just hold on to it.
Yeah.
Because I look at my face and I go, nope. I made a video for
you're
somebody.
A handsome guy. You know you are.
And it was in the morning and I was like this and I go, first of all, I apologize for my face. Apologize for it because no, you can't drink that much wine and eat all that fucking pasta and wake up and think you're going to look not like, I looked like I was in the Arctic. And
right.
I was in my face and I was fighting. I was fighting cold
fighting the
and
elements.
Sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Cliff Richards never had that problem.
He never had that problem. You know
and
why?
And he never will.
You know why? Because he, like Paul Newman, puts his face in a bucket of ice. That's a trick.
Is it really? Yeah. Does it work?
It does.
I've heard all these things. You put a spoon in a freezer and you put it up.
The ice actually brings inflammation down. So if your face is all swollen in the morning,
yeah,
you hold your face under fucking water till it hurts. Promise you. I used to do that when I would go to shoot, I'd do makeup. Of course, asshole would be drinking wine the night before.
Mm-hmm.
My face was so fucking swollen. Before I had my lids done, you couldn't even see my eyes. And I was like, this is not acceptable. So I'd see myself on camera and I'd be like, I can't even see my fucking eyes.
Right.
So I would try to get some ice and water and I'd hold my face underwater. Didn't work that well, but you know, if you haven't slept enough and you've been eating sodium, you're gonna wake up all kinds of inflamed. Inflamed.
No, I know the feeling, believe me. If anybody knows it, it is this guy.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, here's the other thing that seems to be bothering Daddy. Daddy's got all kinds of like pains in his calves and shins. I get the old shin splints, haven't been rubbing them out enough.
Yeah.
So I get all these cramps in my, I got big calves. I got big old fucking
You're
calves.
Like 6 years away from bringing a cane on stage.
Steven.
Brian the Cane Callen.
Steven, that's because I run it hard. Why's Brian got a cane? You know him. He runs it hard.
Do you think you'll get to a point where you need a cane?
I don't kill myself that way. I hope not, but I don't really.
Yeah.
Unless I get like psoriatic arthritis or something.
What's your biggest fear about getting old?
Just regret. Just not. My biggest fear might be the fact that I'm too tired to become as good as I could be.
Yeah. Too tired?
You know, finding inspiration as you get older.
Right.
You get tired.
Hello.
Yeah. I get tired. That inspiration comes from vanity and fear of death. Mm-hmm. My inspiration, like I don't know. My biggest fear is not continuing to work at a high level and just maybe just losing my interest in everything.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of problems with getting older. You don't you know, friendships become weird because everybody's busy and they get older, and men tend to get lonely in their 50s because you're just busy and you're just, you know, maintaining relationships is hard for men because a lot of times your friendships started as what we're going to do in our future and we're fucking climbing this wall together.
Sure.
You get to a point where you're like, we're hanging out. Now what are we going to talk about?
Right.
You know, you want to keep laughing and you want to keep growing, but I finding inspiration, staying true to the why you're doing shit is the challenge. That's what I worry about. And sometimes I find myself exhausted, generally, for no reason, right? It's why people like drink and shit as you get older. It's like, it's funny.
Fuck it.
You see people that wake up and they go, well, I'm going to eat all the food and I'm going to drink all the booze because I just don't have a reason not to.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I have to look forward to.
I'll tell you, I got home Sunday from Madison, Wisconsin. I sat on the couch. My wife is outside literally planting, moving planter boxes, setting up the backyard. It's looking great. I'm like, I should get up and help her.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I'm not gonna.
But you're not gonna.
Because I'm gonna fucking sit on this couch because I feel drained, zapped.
Yeah.
I'm fucking getting older. Yeah. So I'm just gonna enjoy this. Yeah. That's what I did.
And that's when I go out.
I felt guilty, but at the same time, I couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah. Well, what I do is I go out and I swing a kettlebell for a while. I do some goblet squats to boost my testosterone, make sure I eat some fucking shucked oysters. Then what happens is my selenium, magnesium, and zinc levels are sky high. And I go out and I go, hey, babe, how about I help you with the gardening? And then you and I go upstairs and remember what we're doing this whole thing for in the first place. Okay. And now we got green under our fingernails, a little dirt.
Yeah.
And it gets even dirtier than that, brother. Okay.
You were dirty and now the bedroom's muddy for some reason. Where did all this moisture come from?
That's right. And then I go and I just let the water drip down. I take a cold shower. I take a cold shower and I reward myself with the notion that shit, I just did my job as an MAN. You understand? You understand me, motherfucker? That's how I look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You have inspired me.
Okay.
I have been eating healthier. I haven't been, I've been working out because I remember one of the comments I saw like literally 3 weeks ago. One person, this is when I looked at the comments to like, oh, I should try that bit out. Somebody said, it looks like Steve is constantly doing coke before these shows. Because
really?
I was like bloated, my eyes were puffy, and I got this big forehead, and so it was just sweaty. Like sweaty under these lights and stuff.
Have you ever done blow?
I've never done cocaine. I've seen cocaine once in my lifetime, and it was with a good friend of ours. We were in a cab, and I saw him pull it out and do it, but I never wanted to do it because of that Len Bias story. Do you remember Len Bias?
I know. I hear you, man. I'm scared.
I was on a hockey tournament with my father, and my father picked up the newspaper at the front desk as we're walking out to the station wagon to go play my game. And he read it and he put it down. He goes, God damn it. And he said, what a shame. And I said, what happened, Dad? What happened? He goes, ah. And then he calmed down 2 minutes later. He told me that this phenomenal athlete who just got drafted by the Boston Celtics had tried cocaine for the first time. What we learned later is that he had a heart condition. It accelerated his heart rate and he passed away and he couldn't deal with it. And this is a kid in the prime of his life about to play for his dream.
It's dangerous, man. And now it can be cut with other stuff like fentanyl and stuff. You got to be careful with all that shit, man. I don't know. That's I think about that all the time. But I also just don't again, it goes back to like, I don't want to be dependent on a chemical. I don't, I want steroids. I want to take testosterone and I want Anavar and I want to get fucking big. I'm not doing it though.
Why would you want to get big though?
Because that's all that matters in life. No. no, I don't. But I
mean, when you're bigger, you're just hauling that much more weight and muscle around.
It's all
around
cosmetic. And I'm now into just bodybuilding. I will be, nothing will change. But the point is, I will be working just the belly of the muscle, you understand? Not putting a lot of pressure on my joints and my tendons.
I'd rather be an antelope than a bear, yeah. In all honesty.
Yeah.
I'd rather be swift, be able to move, be agile.
Here's the difference.
Okay.
What? I would rather be the size of a bear, but look like an antelope. You understand? Yeah. Yeah.
Your dream, if I was a genie in a bottle, yeah. I said, Brian Kelly, you have one wish.
Yeah.
And then you told me your wish and whispered it to me.
Yeah.
And then only I knew. I would look at the cameras and go, get ready, ladies and gentlemen. And I'd zap you and you would turn into a centaur.
I'd turn into a centaur or Francis Ngannou.
Centaur, yeah. That's what you
Francis
would be.
Francis Ngannou, yeah. One of those.
Between the two, what would you rather be? Centaur there, or Francis Ngannou?
Bring up
Ngannou.
Alden Smith. Bring up Alden Smith with his shirt off. There was a middle linebacker. He had some problems. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. But he had some alcohol problems. I think he's not in the league anymore. But and he's a beautiful human being. Take a look. I've never seen a body like this. He was 265, 6'5".
Is that him?
Yeah. That's what he looks like. And I saw him with a shirt off. And I remember I was like, I've just never seen anything like it. There you go. That's not Alden Smith. That guy's a giant. But take a look right down there, maybe.
Him?
No. Yes, that was him. But you got to see him.
That like, looks
like I saw him. Like he looked like that. Whoever that
the
is.
The other picture looked like.
Whoever that is. That look at that. Look at the way that's built. I would like to be built comme ça. Okay. Le même chose comme ça. Okay. Sorry. That's French for when I see muscular men, I start speaking French. Go back to who's running. Go up. Scroll up. No. The other way. Right there. Bring that guy with the dreads running. Who's that dude?
Upshaw.
Yeah, he's a super athlete. That would be a super athlete. But Alden Smith made Brendan Schaub look kind of diminutive.
Yeah.
He really did. And I remember just looking at him, and he's such a nice guy and a handsome dude, but I've never seen hands. Like, I looked at his fingers. First thing I said is, your fingers are so fucking thick. And he's this one of those special, special athletes. Just ridiculously special. But I'd never seen anybody built like that. I'm talking about 265, and I'm talking about 6'5".
Oh,
and
I have a friend
a
named
whole different look.
Derek West. You want to bring up Derek West? He played for the Denver Broncos. This guy, I believe he's 6'5". He was over 300 in his playing days. And
that's too big.
An absolute fucking beast. And the first time I met him, I shook his hand. And it was one of those things where I felt like my son when he's holding my, I was like, baby
and you were, hands. And you were like your hand, son. There's some dudes that are just different.
There aren't too many good pictures.
They won the genetic lottery. Well, there he is, number down there. Yeah, I see him. Number 95?
No.
No.
Look, guys, it's Father's Day, okay? Now, your father, if your father's like my dad, he's big and he's hungry, okay?
Me too.
Yeah, and you're big and hungry, okay? And if you're big and hungry, my guess is you probably like steaks. If you're going to get steaks, get some of the best steaks sourced in Omaha. Omaha Steaks. OmahaSteaks.com. Type in promo code Big and Hungry in the search bar and order your dad the Get Out and Grill assortment for Father's Day. It includes 20 entrees, okay?
Like how many?
Ultra, 20 entrees, like burgers. Aged burgers, plump chicken breast. You get sides, you get desserts, you get these little, these apple pies, basically. Oh, yeah. They're like apple tartlets.
They're gone.
Well, they're ridiculous. Yeah, you'll eat them all.
I got them and they're gone.
Yeah, you freak out, right? I knew you'd love them. They're so stupid good. Then you get these steaks. You get these 10-ounce butcher's cut New York strips. And if you order, and they, by the way, the strips are aged
they're
for
aged.
30 days. Okay? So they're delicious. Because that's how you get the tenderness in the meat. Plus, you'll get 4 free New York strip burgers with your order. All right. So, omahasteaks.com, promo code big and hungry for outstanding steaks. And it's a limited time, by the way. It's a limited time. And, you know, my dad is not a griller, but what my dad will do is he'll say, grill me some steaks. I got the Traeger grill. I smoke my meat. Then I sear it in a pot. We've gone through this in a pan.
Yep.
I get that pan.
You pan sear.
Sun hot. I get it. Sun hot. And you can take a skillet. And the way I cook my Omaha steaks, I'll take a skillet. I'll salt that skillet down. I don't even put anything on it, bro. I don't put any avocado oil, etc. I get it. Sun hot. And like you said, I turn it up and get it hell hot. Then I take my smoked steak from Omaha Steaks and I sear it. Turn the fan on. Turn the fan on. Yeah, because my dad's like, I'm getting smoked out. I'm like, hey, Dad, it's Father's Day. I got you the get out and grill assortment, bro. You're welcome with 20 entrees. And then he's like, all right, worth it. Worth it. Now fan the fire alarm. Fan it with your shirt while I make you your perfect steak from omahasteaks.com. Promo code big and hungry. Get them. Father's Day is around the corner. Yeah, but I don't want to be a bear that way. I don't want to be a bear that way. Alden Smith had crazy speed.
Yeah.
Alden Smith was crazy speed, crazy strength, crazy flexibility. You want to be, you know, you also want to be like, he looked amazing in a suit.
Yeah.
You see the motherfucker in a suit and you go, well, that's how a suit should fit. Mm-hmm. And that's how everybody, that's the mold that God made for man. And the rest of us didn't get enough batter in the mold. So
I think we have two definitions of masculinity. I think you look at that and that's masculine to you.
Yeah.
And I look at Dean Martin in a tuxedo and I think that's a fucking man.
That's so interesting.
That's
and
a
it
man.
Is a man.
He is.
But you're not concerned with the physicality. You're just concerned with the.
Yeah. I'm concerned with somebody who's got class, style.
Humphrey
he's
Bogart,
laid back.
Yeah.
You know, all those guys, Sinatra, Peter Lawford, Joey Bishop, Sinatra.
You like these old school guys.
I love them. And they're timeless and they're classic. And, you know, I've been going down this Orson Welles whole rabbit hole lately and learning everything I can about him. But I have a deep appreciation for old school Hollywood because you go back to these films and they look dated. But at the same time, the stories are fucking phenomenal.
They're phenomenal.
And the stories hold up, man. It's
Sunset
really
Boulevard,
fucking good.
I mean,
oh, going. My God.
Billy Wilder could write a... I mean, there are so many great writers back then where you're just like... I mean, they were telling stories.
Facing the Crowd with Andy Griffith.
Oh, my God.
That's literally one of the greatest films I've seen.
One of the great films.
And Drew Carey, I was on a USO tour with him, and he's like, you've never seen that film? You got to watch it. It's so fucking amazing. And I was like, at the time, I was like...
But how did it change you? Like, that's a good example. Like, that's where films like that can actually change the way you think and live.
Oh, God. It'll change your perception of storytelling.
Yeah, you go... Well, you also go, I got to get my story in order. The story I'm writing for myself and my life, is not on. It's not acceptable. It's a bullshit story, and I got to change that shit now. That's what I would go through. Really, I'd like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh God!
I was like, I got to start living my life. I'm not living my life.
And that's the message.
Yeah,
that's the message of the film. That's why that's such a great film. But I am obsessed. You could say I'm as obsessed with the Rat Pack as I am with Oasis or. You know, any other band, because the Rat Pack, those guys, you think about what they accomplished. It was just this moment in time that coalesced where they're the epicenter of entertainment, politics, pop culture, music, everything coalesced at the Sands while they're filming Ocean's 11. President Kennedy hitting the top of the charts.
Was Ocean's 11 a real thing?
No. What do you mean a real thing?
Was Ocean's 11, it's a movie, but what
it wasn't based on a real story.
No, I'm saying, but is Ocean's 11 a place in, was that a place in Vegas?
No, it was the film
that they
done.
Yeah.
No, they filmed it at, they were doing their shows at the Sands at night.
Okay.
So they would film during the day, and Sinatra, Peter Lawford got the script. He was on the outs with Sinatra because he had dinner with Ava Gardner. And so Sinatra had dated Ava Gardner. That's the love of his life. He's like, you're fucking out of the club. Peter Lawford gets a script. And then his brother-in-law, Jack Kennedy, is running for president. Sinatra wants to get involved in politics, befriends Peter Lawford again. And while befriending him, and stumping for President Kennedy, he takes a look at the script that Peter Lawfer had, said, oh, this is a fucking great opportunity for us all to get together. This is a great story. Let's make this. So they make the film. They go to Vegas. Sinatra and these guys, they would go on set, and Sinatra, one take. Every scene, he would do one take, because they'd go the fuck back to the Sands, go sauna, go steam, get a sweat in, do their shows at night, stay up till 4 or 5 in the morning. They had run of all the chorus girls, all the stars. They were all flying in from LA to come see these guys. And they had carte blanche. Dean Martin used to sit at the blackjack tables, and he would just declare somebody winner. She was cute. He'd go, ah, you win. And it was just, that was back in the day when the mob ran it. So you could have fun and fuck off and have fun. But it wasn't just those guys. It was all the celebrities that were coming through and seeing them. It was just this pinnacle of entertainment where you had these great friendships and they were goofing off and having a blast on stage. If you're ever bored, if you ever feel bad, Google Rat Pack on stage and look at the joy that they're bringing each other. That to me, like, yeah, I've always wanted that.
All they did is fuck around. All they did is laugh. All they did was laugh.
And they were real friends.
Like, that doesn't exist.
They were genuine friends.
Yeah.
And they, Sammy Davis Jr. got it the worst. You know, Dean Martin used to pick Sammy Davis Jr. up and say, I'd like to thank the NAACP for this award. And they'd all laugh and they'd call him Smokey the Bear.
They were fucking hilarious, man.
They called him Smokey the Bear. And the people are, oh, because he's black, because he's... No, because he smoked. He chain smoked so much. But they all had... nicknames.
They all died of like fucking alcoholism and tobacco shit, right?
They didn't treat their bodies the best.
Sinatra were drunk all the time, apparently.
Well, there's the rumors that Dean Martin drank a lot, and there were times certainly he did, and then there's other times he had apple juice on stage and it was part of
well,
the
well you could see though, like his after his son died in a plane crash,
that was when everything changed, because they had done a Rat Pack reunion tour. And it was Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., and Dean Martin. And Dean went out on it and lasted, I think, 2 dates. And then Liza Minnelli took over because he was in a serious state of depression. And my hero, this guy I idolize, he used to go to this Italian restaurant in Beverly Hills every night by himself and just eat in a booth by himself.
Yeah.
And that was his routine. And then he...
That'll happen when you lose a kid, man.
Yeah.
It's called inconsolable grief. Have you seen any good movies lately?
I was trying to think of a movie where someone lost a kid to make a joke, but no.
Did you see Nomadland or Sound of Metal?
I heard.
Or what's the other movie? The fucking Russell Crowe movie? Did you see any of them?
No. Any of these Oscar nominated films I didn't watch because I felt so many of them had ideology or agenda driven entertainment that I was just like, I'm just not participating.
What about Unhinged? That was a Russell
Crowe. That was a Russell Crowe. I don't think that won any awards, but I heard it was good.
Dude, he put
that
was the Road so Ridge one. Yeah.
The Road Ridge one.
Yeah.
Road Ridge.
Russell Crowe looks like, Russell Crowe now looks like Russell Crowe if I was Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like in Gladiator, he looks like a movie star.
Yeah.
But right now, how he looks, that'd be like if Steve Byrne took over his body.
Like bad Santa. He looks like bad Santa. Have you seen pictures of him?
Oh,
bring him up on the set.
He's turning into Brando.
It's fucking crazy. But he's a hell of an actor.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, man.
But he'll fuck up a buffet.
But that's a good example of what I was talking about, man. Like, listen, that's a form of depression, in my opinion. I don't care what anybody says. Like, Russell Crowe's done it.
Damn.
He's done it. Yeah.
Whoa, yeah.
And he's got, but you see what I'm saying? The point is he's smoking. The point is something is going on with Russell Crowe where he's done with, he did it. He reached the pinnacle of Hollywood and then kind of fell out of favor, just decided he didn't like it. Now the only thing he has to look forward to, in my opinion, looks like his food and booze.
Or maybe he's enjoying life.
I don't think so.
Maybe he was at the gym constantly and he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm old.
I don't think that's how you enjoy life. I think that's a form of
So let me ask you this.
That's a form of like cynicism.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You show me a picture of Russell Crowe and you show me a picture of Sylvester Stallone present day. And I know you had dinner with him.
Yeah.
The guy's had a lot of work done.
Yeah.
He's taken there's a lot of toxins in that body that are being injected. I don't know who I'd rather be, but I'll tell you right now, I'd rather be Russell Crowe. I'd rather fuck up a Pizza Hut all-you-can-eat buffet than do the shit that Stallone's doing.
It's a good question, right? So here's my assessment of that. What I like about both, look, Russell Crowe is doing great work. Maybe part of that was the, like he said this character could do this, you know. Whatever the case, the guy's doing great work and I'm a fan of Russell Crowe. Mm-hmm. I'm also a fan of Stallone. But Whatever your motivation is, or lack of motivation, is more the issue. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm blaming or being critical. I'm saying when I see someone like Russell Crowe, I think to myself, it's a lot of weight. You're smoking, you're drinking. When you let yourself go to that extent, there might be sort of a lack of inspiration to do anything, right?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. It's very easy to fall into that. Even if you're really successful, you're making money, you're doing, there's something about like losing the joy or the excitement or the urgency of what you're doing in life.
Right.
And that happens to successful people and men from my experience all the time. It's really easy to kind of get into this weird rut or this thing. Then there are other people who never want to get old and they'll do whatever it takes to stay in shape and all that. So I don't know that either one is that healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that. So you understand? So for me, like the idea would be, I guess I don't know the answer. I just want to be able to come to terms with my own mortality.
Yeah.
And stay fucking hungry the way Picasso did at 90. I want to still be doing shit where I'm hungry and trying to, maybe I want to do it through my work and keep my body out of the equation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm trying to figure it out. That's why we're having this. That's why I'm trying to talk about it. Cause I'm not sure. Maybe those traps, the Stallone trap and the Russell Crowe trap, are unavoidable. And all of us fall, have one foot in one foot in the other.
I can't think of anybody other than Cher that looks fucking amazing over the age of 60. They all look like they're chasing the fountain of youth,
right,
and they look like worse versions of themselves.
Yeah.
Like when they die, it's like, all right, do we put them in a graveyard or a recycle bin?
John Travolta looks pretty good though.
Who?
Have you seen John Travolta?
Travolta?
You know who looks really good, actually? Jean Smart. She's in a new HBO show.
Who's that?
I want to say she's like in her 70s, but she looks great.
I saw a woman on the plane.
Well, Travolta finally like shaved his head, right?
Yeah, and he looks fucking great.
She plays a like a Las Vegas stand-up comic.
Wow.
That's kind of like on the down and outs.
Wow. Hacks.
She's not on the down and outs, but she like, I mean,
yeah, it's a lot of makeup.
Like
she's
Helen Mirren. Woman. Helen Mirren looks great. And that to me is a woman that is aging gracefully.
Do you ever see her when she was younger?
Oh, yeah.
Caligula. So hot.
I've met her.
Her body.
One of my friends, whatever. She's
aging gracefully.
Gracefully.
When she was young, dude, don't kid yourself. And a good actress.
But there are some that can't let it go.
They can't let it go. They cannot let it go. So that's my question. You got to, I guess maybe that's a good point.
I'm not going to do shit.
I want to age gracefully.
You are aging gracefully.
Yeah, I just want to let it
go. We all are.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, as a comic, fuck it. I don't want to be, you know, I'll do my best.
Look,
I can see my body changing. I like work out and I just see, it's just.
I feel my body
changing. My feet are fucking, I have to warm my feet up in the morning.
You have to warm them up?
Yeah, dude, my feet are fucking, I need to rub my fucking ankles and calves out. I could never just start running.
That explains this guy I was sitting next to on the plane today. He was definitely older. He was probably like in his late 60s, early 70s. How old are you? Anyways,
hey,
this is what I fucking hate about flying. Put some fucking shoes on. I'm so fucking sick of seeing people's feet.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it. Tevas, sandals, it makes me sick. And this guy had scabs on his leg too.
Yep.
And the liver Seen spots that. And all that shit. And he kept moving
Diabetes.
And he was doing this on the plane.
Probably trying to keep the circulation.
And he was
going,
like this.
Dies. Yeah. Because his feet
And
dies.
I was like, just fucking cut him off. So you stop this shit. It drives me fucking nuts.
That's diabetes. That is a classic example of somebody who's got gout or got diabetes.
Well, hack him off.
That's your diet, man.
He's been 3 hours on his flight.
Do you have any physical ailments, Anthony? Nah, you're young.
I had spine surgery when I was younger, so I have a metal rod in my back, but that's pretty much it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Why? You had scoliosis?
I had kyphosis, which is like the opposite of scoliosis.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah,
your back was like this?
Other way. I was like hunched over, so like if I didn't get the surgery, my spine would have eventually curved so bad that it would start like fucking with my lungs, basically.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
You would have collapsed on top of yourself.
Yeah.
Jesus
That'll
Christ.
Happen.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
You don't want to fuck around. You got any physical ailments besides your eyes being devastating? Besides having Superman eyes and that laser focus that brings people to their fucking knees?
I haven't really dealt with anything major, no.
Sorry, dude.
You want to come over and watch the game My Forehead this Sunday?
Oh, come on, bro.
We can talk about that. You got a big old forehead.
So Steve usually stays with me, and my parents are in town. And so now he has to stay in a hotel. You know what my dad said at 81? He's 81 today, my father.
Oh,
81.
Nice.
Happy birthday, Big Mike. And my dad's 81. And he said, my mother went to Iceland.
Right.
My mother went to Iceland. Why? Because she
wanted
hoping
to get caught in an avalanche.
Scenery. Well,
to bring
she
some
took
books
a picture
and sandwiches
of, a, of an active volcano exploding, like not far from her, a mile. I mean, I'm talking about the earth opening up and fire just, you know.
Yeah.
And
is that what a volcano?
That's right. It goes gush.
Okay.
That or when I do stand up. But, you know, the strongest people in the world for a long time came from, it's an island of 300,000 people.
Right.
They are very overrepresented in CrossFit and in strongman competitions. Mm-hmm. True Vikings. True. Bring up CrossFit women from Iceland for a second. I want you to take a look at this. All right.
Okay.
I mean, some of the strongest people in the world on an island of 300,000. So she went, my dad stayed back. And my dad said, he goes, you know, look at us, bring those up. There's that.
Jesus.
Yeah, dude. I mean, they're no joke. They're just big bone people, strong. She's so beautiful. Look
Jesus.
At
Jesus.
Yeah, dude, that's real. Go back to, look at how gorgeous she is. She used to be the best.
Anthony, can you look up divorce attorneys now for me, please? Thank you very much.
You like her. She's beautiful, right? I know. Oh, dude, they're so gorgeous, man. Look at her. She's currently, I think, number one. She's a beast.
Take out the garbage, Steve.
Yes, yeah, I will, honey.
That is a Viking princess.
She eats at least 5 steaks a day.
Oh, she's a Viking queen. Look at her. These are big, strong gals from Iceland. Yeah. And the men are not, they're just like that, only ridiculous. I mean, don't fuck around with them. They are the Vikings. They are the Vikings. Go back now. Yeah, let me see the one jumping rope right there.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Look at her face. Look at how gorgeous her face is. But they're obviously, if anybody tells me they're all natural, I'll laugh in your face, but it doesn't
This
matter.
Is something I wonder. I love your perspective on this. The Rock.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of this guy lately. This can't be healthy.
No.
This dude is beyond big.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, he's muscular. He's athletic. But I saw a picture of his arms. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, you look at an older picture of him, and you look at a picture of him now, it just... how do you maintain that? How does that not
it's the
do
same thing this
but how does that not do permanent damage to you?
It's the same thing Cliff
you?
Richards is going through.
Will that do permanent damage to you?
All
in,
I know
later
is that all I
life?
Know all I know is that that can't be good to his heart, for his heart. He's on every
That is
You're
crazy.
Talking about you're talking about I'm sure he's doing Deca Anabol, Anavar. I mean, who knows what he's doing, but that's not natural. Look at his face. Look what's going on with his face. He's literally doing like he's a walking pharmacy. And he's already a huge guy, but that's that when you see veins
but
like
all
that,
those veins.
Look like, at that right there, that picture of him like just looking at he's already a big guy. He's black and Samoan, and his dad was a fucking
He's
stud.
Naturally a big guy, but this is like a whole nother level with all the
Yeah, it's called steroids. And I can't imagine that's good for his heart. I can't imagine that's healthy. You know, I don't know, but you know, I think there's always a price to be paid. Anytime.
So like do you remember when Andy Pettit pitched for the Yankees and there was a moment in time where he got suspended from the playoffs because he was taking
human growth hormone, I think, or something like that, or
but the,
for recovery. Those guys
it was
do
for
it for
recovery.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like for a professional athlete to take something to help them recover faster, quicker, I don't see any problem with that. I don't see any issue with that because that's their profession. Anything that's going to be an accelerant or help in terms of strength, that I understand you want to level the playing field.
Yeah.
But in terms of healing, why not allow these professional athletes to heal a little faster, given the fact that they're grinding their bodies in for profit for at least 10 to 15, maybe 20 years.
Because the issue becomes that when you're allowed to do steroids and recover faster, what that really means is you can train way longer and way harder.
And but you still have a finite amount of time to do that in, though.
Look, I mean, it's the great debate about baseball. Okay, so you are 32, 33. Your bat speed starts slowing down because these guys are throwing 100 miles an hour.
Like Bonds, and he saw McGuire and Sosa, yeah.
So now you go, okay, here. So, Steve, you can do some steroids, and a couple of things are going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. You can not do steroids, and you can be bumped down to the minors, and you're done. Your career's done and make no more money. I'll give you some steroids. Now, you're going to put on about 30 pounds of muscle, maybe 20 pounds. You're going to look very good. You're going to be very muscular. You're going to look really good. You're going to be very happy with the way you look in the mirror. And your bat speed's going to speed up. It's going to speed up. And also, you're going to probably hit more home runs because you're just going to be fucking stronger. And oh, by the way, you'll be able to play 160 games and you won't suffer injury because human growth hormone, Wenstrol, DECA, whatever the fuck it is, it does stop you from getting injured. It just does. And when you do that, you get to play a sport you love. And for 5-6 more years, at least, you're going to look better. And oh, by the way, you'll also make $100 million more.
Yeah.
Would you take steroids? Because I fucking would.
Yeah.
Because that's just simple math. Oh, no, don't cheat. Shut the fuck up because everybody else is doing it too.
Yeah. I think the advances of science within the bio, world, it's like, it's getting to the point where it's going to enhance and help these athletes get better and better. I'm one of those.
We're going to have gene editing and everything now.
I don't see why it is as big of an issue as it is.
Maybe because the cool thing about sports is that given the playing field being equal, you're supposed to see how everybody competes.
Right.
But it raises this crazy question, though, right? Because if technology, we already know that you can use some technology to get yourself there. But genetics and nature isn't fair either. Like, there are some sprinters, for example, that have testosterone levels of 1500 naturally.
Right.
And fucking somebody else who has a testosterone level of 500 naturally. So we know that we're getting into these issues where what is an even playing field?
Well, you have Idaho and Tennessee are the first two states to ban transgender athletes from competing.
I'm in favor of that because I don't want biological males who are saying I'm now a female coming in and dominating women's sports.
Well, that's what's going to happen this summer in the Olympics. There's a guy who competed professionally, I believe, in track and field that never won, never medaled. And now he's competing. Now she is competing as a woman.
That makes me so mad.
And dominating.
It's not fair.
Dominating. And I think that's going to be a big topic of issue at the Summer Olympics.
It's
complete bullshit. And if you're in high school and you're a girl trying to pursue a scholarship, whatever, and you're the leading goal scorer, and then all of a sudden a boy identifies as a woman.
Woman who holds the 400 world record? She has more medals than Usain Bolt. 300 high school boys are better than she is. 300.
Jesus.
300, okay? In America, in the United States.
Right.
So what the fuck are we talking about? And anybody who advocates for biological males to be in female sports, like Sarah Silverman, all due respect, and all these other people, they just don't understand sports. They've just not done sports. You're speaking from an ideological perspective, and I'm not saying you're a bad person. You're trying to be kind and stuff, but overall, you just don't understand sports. You don't. You don't have an objective understanding of how sports work. You've never competed in sports. You've never done anything in sports. You certainly have never done anything in combat or in physical, like physicality.
Right.
And so the people driving the narrative.
Well, I think Jimmy Kimmel understands physicality.
There it is. Yeah, I'm a fan of Sarah's, but I just think that she's off.
I love
on
her.
That. I really do. I love Sarah Silverman. I think she's funny as fuck, and I've always had nothing but good things to say. But I just think that in that sense, not to pick on her, but people who are advocating for that are just missing the mark, man. I disagree. I think it's unfair.
Yeah. I'm completely on board with you. I think
most people do. Unfair. Most people agree, but most people, it's just not fair to women. It's just not. So fuck off. You know, I don't care.
By the way, do you see Elliot Page?
Oh boy.
Did you see her picture she just posted?
Yeah, bring
shredded.
That up. I know. Well, you know what? I was very, whenever I see like Demi Lovato or these people coming out as non-binary, I'm always like, well,
what is non-binary? Because she's identifying as a dude.
It's
right?
Somebody who's trying to do it for attention.
So
when I see this though, when I see that she's actually gone through the surgery, and now it's a he, he's a he. Yep. I'm not going to argue with that. That's
if he's
obviously
happy, he's happy.
Well, obviously this is taking it to a level where this was really inside of her at the time.
Sure.
And so she always felt like a man. Now she's gotten through a transition. And she's a man. So if she wants me to call her a man and refer to her as a man, I will.
One of his nipples is far larger than the other one.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing, by the way. That right there looks like, you know.
Well, I guess you can't win them all, right?
That's a dude's body, though.
It's like you got a fucking six-pack. It's like, but one of your nipples
is... This is just the future.
I got a six-pack, asshole. That's what you should be looking at.
Yeah, this is the future, though. We're going to be in a position where men and women and whoever you are, you're going to be able to choose whatever you
want. The thing I find crazy about this trans movement right now, especially with kids wanting trans surgery.
That's bad.
My thought process is this. If you're 11, 12, 10... 8?
You can't make those 14 for yourself.
That's what the lawmakers are pushing back. Parents and the agenda is pushing back on. So you have this pendulum swinging. My easy solve is this. If you're a kid, you want that shit, then fucking pay for it. Don't ask for assistance because that shit is six figures. So if you want it, start cutting the grass. Start shoveling the driveway.
I just think children are not in a position to make those life-changing choices.
And no kid can afford it. So that's the point. Yeah. No kid can afford it.
When you can afford the shit. If you're a legal adult, then you know, it's a long process, man. You've got to sign all kinds of papers and stuff. But I don't think that they're talking about actually doing surgery on children. I think what they're talking about is puberty blockers and stuff like that. But I totally disagree with all that.
There are kids that want the surgery.
Yeah.
At 10, 12.
And then I ask how much of that is social pressure and the fact that they are doing it because they are trying to just be different. You don't know. You can't make choices that affect the rest of your life as a 12-year-old. And you can't even do it really as an 18-year-old. Let's be honest. I would have made choices that were so fucking... But listen, you know, you have to. We do have a cutoff where you're an adult and you're responsible for the choices you make. I don't think there's any evidence that when you transition, it necessarily solves a lot of the problems that you're trying to
psychologically.
Yes.
No, there are.
I don't know that it affects suicide rates. Actually, I don't know if that. I don't know if the evidence and the jury is out on the fact that when you get a transition that it stops you from committing suicide, which was one of the larger arguments. But
yeah,
look, man, a lot of this stuff is just maybe we're spending too much time on it. We're lip servicing too much of it. Shit's gonna happen. You're not gonna like it. It's gonna be fucked up, dumb parents that make choices for their kids. These trends move in one direction.
Yeah.
They're insane.
But it's a small scintilla of the population too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're a father and your daughter is playing soccer,
I can't stand
there's
how
a
Hollywood-
girl named Ricky or, you know, Regina now. Yeah. Fucking blazing up the field. I mean, you might be a little like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I can't stand when Hollywood actors get involved and singers. And I just hate Hollywood and I hate Hollywood personalities. And maybe I fall into that category too. Maybe I should shut the fuck up too. But at the end of the day, like maybe all of us in the arts shouldn't have a fucking point of view on politics unless it's, I don't know, or it's, let me look at both sides. But well, these people that- like who just come out and start advocating for shit, I don't believe you. Most of the time, I
those
just don't believe
you. Those that do, the biggest flag bearers of woke
attention,
they're
doing
it for
attention.
Their career. And for the most part, they have something to hide. It's because they're the ones that have offended. So they're covering it up.
It's also not costing them anything. Now you're coming out as a trans activist. Now you're coming out as non-binary. That doesn't cost you a thing. It's what the popular kids are doing.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of social capital for it. It didn't cost you anything to march in the BLM movement. Didn't cost you anything to post a black square. You aren't paying any price. You're getting something for it. Let me see what happens when you stand up for something and it actually costs you something. Here's an example. Muhammad Ali chose not to be drafted, said, right. I'm not going to be drafted in Vietnam. He lost his career for 6 years at the height of his career, 6 years mm-hmm. of boxing went by the wayside when he was the best. It was when he was untouchable. This motherfucker said, sorry. And they said, well, you're not going to box for 6 years. How many people, I couldn't do it. How many people would actually have the guts to do that? And then, and I mean, you didn't, he was a black man in the 70s. You weren't going to make money.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the craziest shit ever. And that was a guy who had that kind of moral fortitude.
And everything
to lose.
Oh,
my
yeah.
God.
And he did.
I never see that with these Hollywood personalities or anybody else who's making a stand in the name of social justice. You're not making a stand in social justice. You're going along with the tide. You're doing what's popular and you're getting money for it. Harry Styles and these guys wearing dresses. Of course you are, because it just makes you relevant. It's more attention for you. It's more fucking that people like that can't get enough. There's not enough attention. They cannot get enough light on their face.
Yeah.
They have to date somebody famous. They have to do something crazy. They can't. It's not enough. Give me more. And I'm sorry. That's how.
One of the things I'm severely confused by to this day is Megyn Kelly, who I'm impartial to. I have no emotional stake whatsoever in her. I'm not a huge fan of Megyn Kelly's. She had a talk show on NBC.
Yeah.
And she got fired. She lost her job.
Yeah.
Because she discussed blackface.
I know.
She discussed it. There are
countless
late night talk show hosts that have literally performed blackface. There is video of them performing in blackface. They got laughs and were celebrated in blackface. And this is not that long ago.
I did it in 1995. There was a sketch on Mad TV that I was put in blackface in. I don't even remember the sketch.
You were in blackface?
Yes. Somebody sent me a snap. All right, man. Jesus.
All the best.
God, I love how you stand by your convictions, dude.
Yeah. Well, have fun with Sam.
That's the end of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't even remember the sketch, but like that was acceptable back then because we were doing sketch comedy. Now it's like, you know. But again, the people driving this narrative, the white woke left.
Yeah.
Are the most annoying, insincere motherfuckers on the planet. Not to mention, to me, just so ignorant. They're just jumping on the bandwagon. I know where these ideas came from. I know the academics that came up with these terrible ideas. Mm-hmm. They were always on the academic fringes.
Right.
It started in the 70s. They haven't even read them. They're just hearing it secondhand. Now they're going, yeah, systemic racism sounds great. White privilege sounds great. I'm gonna jump on this bandwagon, trans this. It's you're not, they haven't thought it through. I can see it.
Even like something like, okay, so there's the 1619 project here that
hilarious.
Disputes the founding of our country, right? Then in Canada,
it also holds that the Revolutionary War is fought.
In Canada, you have the 1907 project, somewhat similar. And I was just like, why are you propagating a narrative based on something inherently negative, right? It's one thing to learn about that, right? Why not call yourselves the 2021 project, where you're acknowledging the past but providing a better tomorrow, as opposed to let's keep talking about yesterday. It's like, I want to talk about tomorrow. I would never come up with the 1980 project by Steve Byrne. I want to talk about the time I got called a chink for the first time when I was 6 years old. It's like, that's not going to identify me or my life.
Well, it's also probably not going to help the situation
at all.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. So that's...
It's identity, dude.
It's all identity.
It's an idea that's been given to them that makes sense emotionally. We all do this.
But the last year has forced everybody to get tribal because of the media, because of politics. And even someone like me, and I talk about this in this newest hour, is just like, well, I'm tribeless because I'm Korean and I'm Irish. And to just say I'm Korean would be a falsity.
That's what saves
and
our country.
And to say I'm Irish is a falsity. So my identification, my tribe, is that I will just ascend all this bullshit and go by the fact that I'm simply an American. That is
That's
it.
What saves, what will save us from going into civil war is that there are so many different factions in this country. What I worry about is big tech saying
Kamala Harris is African American. She's Indian and Jamaican.
Yeah.
Can someone explain to me how the fuck Kamala Harris is African American when you're Indian and Jamaican?
Yeah.
I don't fucking understand
that. Yeah. Well, you know, it's whoever controls the narrative, dude. We just get lazy about it.
All right.
Fuck.
We're over an hour now and we have some questions to get to.
Okay.
Matt Herzberger says, I'm 22 years old and I lost the love of my life. Advice on how to move on.
Oh, God.
I mean,
dude,
the only way out of it is through.
Maddie, there are plenty of girls out there. It's going to hurt. It's going to sting. Find a song that you love. It'll get you through it. Go out with your boys. Call them up. Say, we're going out tonight. My treat. I don't give a shit. Go out, have a bender. Take a road trip. Get out of town. Get out of Dodge. But this moment, as will all, will pass.
The moment will pass. What's interesting is that when you're 22, you love atomically. You love hard.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And but you look back on it and you go, where'd that love go? What happened to that love? Why, you know? But man, I get it. That's a hard time.
It's tough.
When you're 22, your heart fucking breaks. Go through it. Feel it. But also maybe use it as an experience, as an excuse to get good at something. I'm such a believer in that. Just try to get good at something. Use it as fuel.
Fuck that.
I know a guy who lost his girl.
Get a bunch of friends and go fucking rip it up.
I was watching a guy play golf and he was hitting the ball so far. And I was like, fucking the guy, that guy's a billionaire. And I said, he is? And he goes, yeah. His girl, the love of his life left him.
Mm-hmm.
And for another man who had money, and he didn't have money at the time. And he goes, all right, cool. And he went and made $1 billion. And that was what motivated him.
I'll tell you, when I was 21, a girl left me for a rodeo clown. And I was like, I'll show this bitch.
And now you're a fucking clown, but you're too afraid of fucking bulls and horses. So you just stayed a fucking clown.
That's right.
But guess what? A clown ain't the same as rodeo clown. So get in your fucking proverbial barrel and roll the fuck out of here. All right.
Matt, I wish you all the luck in the world.
Yeah.
Trust me, you're going to go through. This is going to be a scar. You'll have a few of them. But trust me, there's a pot of gold at the end of this rainbow. There's a lot more girls out there and a lot more experiences. You don't want to get settled down at 22 either.
No, you don't, dude.
Fucking rip it up. Have fun.
Yeah.
You got a lot of sand in that hourglass.
She might be incredible, though, and in that case. But I went through that. I've gone through that.
We've all gone through
that. When I was your age, I went through that.
And that's the thing, Matt should know. We've all gone through it.
Fuck,
we've
man.
All gone through it.
I know. It's the worst.
It's the best.
It sucks.
It's the best because it makes you appreciate the great ones along the way when you truly have one.
I watched Little Miss Sunshine again, mm-hmm. one of my favorite movies. And Proust, who was, you know, Steve Carell plays a Proust scholar. I think it's Emmanuel Proust or Marcel Proust. And he wrote this book that nobody reads. It's just too long. But anyway, he said, where would I be without my suffering? It was my suffering that made me who I am, not the comfort, not, you know, my suffering is what I'm thankful for. Mm-hmm. And Nietzsche said the same thing. And all the existentialists said that the only thing that actually forges you into the person you should be is suffering, is pain, is discomfort, is disappointment, is longing. You don't really grow when you're, when things are really, really good. I was sitting with a group of men who never had to work again. They had crazy money. And to a man, every one of them was really fat. Steve?
Sorry.
See what happened?
what happened?
See what happened? My voice can put you to sleep.
You were with a group
Jose
of men?
Jose Monreal. It is original, done before.
The group of men, were you guys sitting in a circle by chance?
Yeah, we were. Yeah. There was a fire. I don't want to talk about it. Anyway. Is it original or done before to view comedy as something that can be derivative, especially now with memes and so many people have similar ideas? I'm not giving the okay to steal material or anything. Or does that just mean you need work harder to become as great as two comedians can be? I don't know what you're saying. I don't even know.
I know what he's saying.
What's he saying?
I think he's saying with the advent of social media and memes and everything else, is it as inspiring to keep coming up with jokes because jokes are taken and put out there so quickly?
It's hard.
It is that much harder
TikTok
to come up with jokes.
TikTok is hard to pull your eye away from.
But I would respond by saying the individual story, your story, my personal story, I think that's where you derive the greatest humor from. So I think, you know, no one has the experiences you've had or mine. And when we take those on stage, I think that is the difference other than, you know, a Star Trek meme or a Spider-Man meme or whatever it might be.
Yeah. You often discuss how to live as manly men. Not really. And I appreciate your stance on most
topics.
Not
really. What are you talking about, Cal?
I know my past does not define me, but within the last 2 years, I have been faced with divorce, death of a parent, ending a 10-year-long opiate habit, and career changes. Fuck. When it comes to digging yourself out of a rut, what mental tools do you use to motivate yourself to become the man you want to be? As a side note, your podcast is awesome. It's one that I look forward to each week. I'm a Cali kid, but would love to see you guys live. any chance you could be touring together and hitting any venues in California? Stay tuned to that. Do you have any advice for him?
Well, I mean, it certainly sounds like, I mean, like the greatest hits of adversity have been, you know, placed on your plate for sure. Again, I think it comes down to, you know, having a good core of good friends. I really believe that in just saying, you know what, I'm going to try to get past this each and every moment. I had a friend recently who his wife passed. She was sick for a multiple number of years. Her body was just degrading. She was bedridden. He would go work. And during his break, instead of eating lunch with everybody else, he'd have to go home, feed her, change her, bathe her, clean her, go back to work, come home from work, along with being a parent to two daughters, and clean her and bathe her and all that stuff. And she had a bed in the living room, and that's where she lived. And she passed on. And as soon as I heard that this had happened to him,
cancer or what?
No, I forget what the condition was.
ALS or something?
Yeah. Oh. And it was just like slowly she just... And so I got in the car. I drove to see him that day. I just knocked on his door after driving 6 hours. And I got there and there was three other guys there. And he had a bar down in his basement. And we drank and we laughed and we bullshitted and we had a great time. And we took him out that night. We got him ripped. I've been waiting. I've been trying to invite him to come out on the road with me and just spend the weekend with me and come out to the club and hang out with other comics and stuff. And I think that's really what it is. I think it's just getting out there. Of course you want your moments to sulk. Of course you want your time alone to contemplate things and rewind things and think of how you could have done things differently, et cetera, or appreciate those moments. But I think ultimately it's just getting a good core of friends and saying, you know what, help me get through this. Distract me.
And I'd say the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, I thought that was really good because it basically asks, what are you willing to struggle for? Know that you're going to have a struggle no matter what and that life is a series of problems. And I like Jordan Peterson's books, An Antidote to Chaos, 12 Steps to something. It's 12 Steps. I can't remember the name, but it was a good book. And if I was young, I was a little old when I read it, but I loved it, but I think it's a really good book.
Clean Your Room.
All that shit.
Yep.
Well, Steve, another great show of Big and Hungry. Thank you so much for your time and your love.
That didn't seem sincere, Brian.
It's my dad's birthday today, and I'm going to take my father and my sisters, and we're going to shake it up.
Well, I hope you guys enjoy the soft foods.
Oh, we will. Much love.